Welcome to Grounds for Discussion, a book club podcast for the average Joe.
You talk about like some of the ways that the memory would come up all of a sudden, like catch you off guard. Mm-hmm. And you wrote about a couple of them in your book, but the one that stands out to me is the baby doll.
That was weird. Yeah, that was a weird. I think Satan just knows that he knows I'm an emotional, visual person too, just like Jesus does.
Is it just the fact that it reminded you of?
I can't tell you what happened there. I was good. One of the kids' dolls was dirty, and I threw it in the washer, and it threw me. I was like, I don't even know how to explain that. I can't hardly explain that.
That scared you, though, right?
It was very frightening to me to see that doll head swishing in the water. And I don't, it sounds really creepy, even still, kind of, you know, like, not, you know, I can't take my mind captive over this anymore, but just, there was very fear of, I don't know, some kind of fear just boiled up in me.
Well, just sounds like an attack of
it sounds dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is. Now, other things that came up that would just kind of throw me in a different way, not a fearful dark way like that did, but are seeing his handprints. Like this was like his high chair sat under this thing of glass that Grandpa made. Remember that it had wheat and corn and he made these things that had little
like shadow boxes.
Shadow box. Yeah. And anyway, obviously at some point he had stood up and put his little handprint on that glass. Yeah. And I didn't probably see it for
With the light just right,
I saw it, and it just threw me into the saddest time. Just so missing him. And I think you hear about people who are caregivers, and I think people who give physical care, you miss that physical, and you just ache for that. And it can be for an older person, or it can be for a baby that you just don't have it anymore. It's gone. And I just kind of went into that where I just needed the physical. I needed his little hand.
You were pregnant with Dan.
Mm-hmm.
4 months pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
When Andy passed away?
Well, at the time, I think we thought it was 3 months. But then they set the date. They changed the date to January instead of February.
What month did Annie pass away in?
I mean February instead of March. So from September to March, I thought I was due in March.
Okay.
For Dan. But however long that is.
So, I mean, I can't even imagine being pregnant when you have a child pass away. Like,
everyone really was taught, they really did. My friends talked to me about that, you know, and my doctor, and you need to get to your, you know, your OB. And
did they do an ultrasound because they were?
No. Hmm. Wait. Did they do an ultrasound?
I don't know.
I don't think they did. Am I wrong on that?
I don't remember.
I can't remember that.
I know it wasn't really standard practice for most of your kids, but I don't know which ones had them and which didn't. So
it wasn't. And I'm trying to remember if it was Dan, because they were concerned. I'm really foggy on that.
The fact that you had a healthy birth after that kind of is crazy to me, because all that you went through.
Well, you can't picture any child coming into the world without some kind of
a healthy birth. Yes. Yeah. Right, right.
But I mean, that is amazing that he was.
My body did baby making really well. I mean, I really didn't. My pregnancies, I always. Did well with
gut wrenching, like, sorrow, though.
And yes. Yep. I know, to think about, not letting that affect in any way, but, you know, it's nature's way. It's God's way to just. It's a natural thing, so. Obviously, it didn't.
Was it hard to parent him?
Oh my goodness! After... Don't make me answer that.
Well, we all know he was a.
Well, it was anyway. Right.
But crazy boy. That was a blessing.
Crazy boy.
Because, I mean, I don't know, but maybe it was a blessing.
Well, he was a baby for a while, and what can a baby do? You know, but you know, he turned into this little crazy man.
Like, kind of the opposite of Andy.
Oh, he performed all day and all night for anyone and
naughty.
Everyone.
And he was like, he kept you on your toes. And
he didn't do what we asked.
He
spit on sisters.
He didn't change how we disciplined him by his behavior.
Right.
But I do remember not being happy that everybody else was happy that we had a boy. Mm. Oh, now it's all better.
Sure. They really got angry.
Please
tell me they didn't actually say it.
Did they?
Yeah, some people
We had people say, I'm so thankful you had a boy. That's so cool that God has given you another little boy to, you know. And I'm sure they never said to replace what you've lost. Why would that make me want a boy? No. I want Andy. Mm-hmm. No. I think when he went to prayer meeting, that was a story. Everybody like, yes, you know, when he stood up at prayer meeting and said, "Well, we got a little boy, you know, named Dan." And you know, and everybody just, you know, they were like almost cheering.
It probably made them feel.
No, not to him. But see, I took things more emotionally.
Yeah.
And
I think that would be hurtful to me.
Well, less than a year later and you're still deep in grief. So of course you're going to.
Well, I related everything to that, you know. I perceived everything under that cloud losing him.
Well, we have
him.
Pictures of when Dan's pretty little, and it's just written all over your face.
Really?
I mean, it's just,
really?
Don't you think?
I think you look sad.
And maybe it's because... We know what happened. Maybe we're reading that into the photos.
Yeah, I'd have to look at those again. That's interesting to me.
It's always been very obvious to me.
I mean,
in the photos. It's always been very obvious to me in the photos, but maybe I'm reading that into it. You know,
Dan's baby photos,
or even when he was, you know, young or whatever. You know, just
took a while. Took a while.
Did you feel like you could always talk about him with your family?
Mm-hmm.
And with us kids?
I remember being very grateful that you talked about Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember thinking, what if my parents would never tell me about him when I asked? What if I found out that I had a brother and they wouldn't tell me anything about him? And how I just felt like that would be so hurtful. And I was always, from the time I was little, so grateful that you guys would share about him.
Yeah.
And not even just the happy stuff, but, this is how he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that, you know,
for us as the kids who didn't know
the little
him,
kids,
it's a whole different perspective because we wanted, like, we feel like
you were robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, and also, that's how I felt. It's a part of our family story that we can't experience,
and probably a little sad that there's that bond thing that happened because we had to pull together. And
I don't feel sad about the bond. Mm. I feel sad that
I'm glad you had that bond.
Yeah.
I'm happy you had that bond. I'm definitely on the outside of it.
Right.
And yes, but
the family unit, you don't feel on the outside of.
No.
I think just because we didn't know him doesn't mean we don't love him. And right. I think that's
was our goal.
Yeah.
That was our goal was to help the younger kids that never knew him to be able to know him.
Yeah.
That's why we wanted to be free about, even though it hurt sometimes.
And why I could make up a story about how he and I...
Right, you would have been best friends.
You know, yeah.
We would have been tight. Well, Trish already has that story.
Her little buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was really interested in the part about, like, his shoes and how you know, obviously at some point someone took them off him, or maybe they were still in the creek and you retrieved them, I don't know, but they were put on the porch to dry, and you said you needed to polish them, and I was super confused. So tell me about why did you feel like you needed to
it's kind of weird, huh?
But I think maybe it comes from we're such a throwaway society now that I would have pitched them. I'd have been like, I don't want to look at these. I don't want to see it.
Well, that's even what I'm putting these in the trash. The sleeper too, that Dan. Mm-hmm. Like I probably
would have thrown it away.
I still have a little pair of bib overhauls that belonged to Andy first. Hee-haw. Not these. Not this one.
No.
No. They were hee-haw. Do you remember those, Trish? They were hee-haw, and do you remember the hee-haw
the
show?
The show hee-haw?
Yes.
The horse?
Well, they had...
Well, it was animals. Real redneck.
It was redneck, like, hillbilly.
From the corn.
Yeah. And they sang and told jokes and whatever. Yeah, it was
old school.
It was like, from that show, you know, those little pants. They said hee-haw on them. They say it. Mm-hmm. Why did I tell you that? Keeping the shoes.
Yeah.
The shoes became, oh boy, I haven't cried the whole time.
It's okay.
Became.
If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to.
Like,
symbol.
The one last thing. The one last thing I could. Physically. And he wasn't even gone. And somehow I knew this will be the last thing I do for him. I will polish these shoes. They will look as good as I take him to Sunday school in. And he was buried in them. So that's that, Lore.
You just wanted to do one last thing. Is
I wanted to feel like I was still his mommy. Or something. I can't. He's still mine. I'm going to do this. So I polished him.
Did it work?
Man.
I don't know about polishing shoes. We don't do that anymore.
You had this little thing, and you tipped it upside down. It had a little sponge on it, and the white polish would come out. You'd sort of rub it like this.
Do you remember the polish, Trish? I probably made
it. I remember Trish the polish. I just don't...
You have...
I was trying to picture shoes that have been in water for a long time. What do you do with them?
I don't know. I mean, they weren't. They took his clothing off when they started working on him. Yeah. He was just in his diaper, you know. I think they took his shoes off and everything, and they were down by the creek. Yeah, and I carried him up to the porch. So that's the shoe story.
There's a part of the book where you talk about, like, you almost accepted his death and then you realized he wasn't dead. Do you remember this? And then you kind of, like, had to backtrack a little bit and be like...
Mm-hmm. I believed he would die, but that he was still...
Well, then I didn't think he was...
Well, and
well,
yes, they got a heartbeat at the creek.
Hope came and
yep.
mm-hmm. she was helping, and mm-hmm. she came up to the porch or something and told you they found a slight heartbeat.
Yeah,
or you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm. When they did the CPR, they did.
Right. You know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they told us was when they took him into the hospital that they did have a heartbeat. And it would all depend on what his brain did.
So they had to do it. Swelled.
So they gave us hope that he was going to survive. It just depended on... So that was my prayer. Heal his brain. Don't let it swell. No, that wasn't to
well,
be.
Well, when they did check the... You know, when they did... How did they do that? A brain scan? I don't know how they did it then. Exactly, if it was a CAT scan, you know, on his brain. But they could tell that there was very little.
No activity.
Activity. Mm. Or no, I think they let us down gently. And,
when did you find that out?
I had, before that, I had thought he would die. And yes. then I had told God, I don't care, no. And it was almost a selfish, I think he's going to die, because what has he got left? I mean, what's he going to be? And then I did vacillate some on that. Then I finally was like with him at one point, and I was like, I don't care what he is. I don't care what happens to his brain. I want to keep his body. Like, I will care for his body. For as long as you call us to do that, God. And then we came, you know, the next day or something, and he had taken a turn. And they, you know, kind of took us away and said, we're going to remove. You know, they didn't leave that decision really to us. You know, so that was good. That was good.
Do you know why they wouldn't have called you in the night when
They knew. Because we were telling Dr. Who?
Dr. Galvin or Dr. Miller?
Miller. We were telling Dr. Miller, well, we saw these movements. We saw some movements. And so some activity there, you know, there's... and. He wasn't super encouraging, but he said, we're just hanging in there. You know, we're waiting to see what these are. And Marilyn is praying for a miracle. And then she told us later that she had this vision that of Andy running through a field, flowers, you know, the vision you see, you know, this is heaven. And flowers and running toward Jesus. And then she knew he was going to die because she had just prayed, they had been praying their hearts out for him to live. And I said, thank you. Do that, because I don't have that kind of, you know, I don't have that kind of hope right now, but I'm willing for whatever. And I did. I had to surrender that, because that's a big thing to think about, caring for a, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
definitely
think about people going through that. And when he was gone, he was gone. It wasn't like we...
It was fast.
We didn't, you know, linger. So we didn't...
On life support. He was being held alive.
He was on breathing stuff. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty much made the decision. I think they tried to help us through the thought of this is what... And you know what? We also knew that you go ahead and pull that plug. If my baby's going to live, he's going to live. So, you know, at that point, it was just kind of walking through the paces. Like you felt kind of like a robot almost.
Like surreal? Like
yes. Oh, yeah, really yeah. Yeah. Is this real?
Body doing this
yeah.
thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Which happens with death. Death is so not natural. It is so, life is what we're all about. And hope. And a future. And it's, death is just like, not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. And I think you feel that surreal feeling. Mm-hmm. And you would at any death. Like, this is so wrong, you know? Yeah.
You talk in the book about that the girls didn't understand why they couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Does that...
And
looking,
she still loves me.
looking back on that, is what are your thoughts? Is that... something that you questioned later, or were you always very firm?
I don't remember what our thoughts were, but if I had to make a guess, my guess would be that we didn't want them to have that last memory of him.
That's what.
Did the girls ever express, like, sorrow that they didn't get to see him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Trisha really wanted to see him. Trisha was the only one we really could communicate. I mean, Trisha was always
right.
such a little old lady. And she always...
She's sitting
she's,
right next to us.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, we just... You just gotta love. She's just always kind of knew what I was... weirdly knew how I was feeling or thinking. And it's a
that's
thing...
That's what she was thinking and feeling.
Right.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
And I, you know, when we told them all, but, you know, Melissa and Krista were just kind of da-da-da-da-da, you know,
yeah.
I mean, they
yeah.
went about their...
Too little to...
And Trisha wasn't real happy with that.
Did
why?
She ask
why? Why can't yeah. we? Why can't I see him? And we said, he doesn't look like he did, Trish. We would love to have you remember Andy as our Andy, as our sweet little Andy. He doesn't look the same. When your body starts to, you know, lose function in every area, you start to swell. He doesn't look like your little brother. And we would rather have you have that. And we could talk to her like that. We could talk to her like that, or if she remembers the conversation. But it's pretty, I remember, you know, feeling bad that we couldn't honor that request. Because she was, like, older than her years. And should we have? God only knows. We made the only decision at that point that we felt was best for her. We would have gone through that with her if
you felt like that's what
we
you...
felt that was the best for Trisha.
Right.
To deal with her grief that way. And I think too it's a child's curiosity. It's not, I mean, if you can anyway put that to rest, that it wouldn't have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know. She didn't put up a big fuss about it. We just knew she was disappointed about that, you know, with that. But then we kind of knew what she was thinking because she would talk to us.
Well, from her perspective, she wasn't there for any of it. So her brother just disappeared one day.
Well, right. And so sad. Yeah. The saddest thing you can think of.
Yeah.
That, boom, they take him away and now I can't even see him.
Sorry, I'm not trying to, like, I'm just curious about just looking back on some of that stuff, whether you think of it differently, you know, and I don't know. I mean,
to be honest with you, I don't know if that was the right choice. We don't know.
Nobody does. That's how
I don't know if Trisha knows if it was the right choice, you know?
Right, but you right.
Do, I mean, you do think, like, if you have on her, that's a whole different.
And maybe because she was mature, maybe she could have handled that. You know, maybe she could have.
What person can handle that?
At seven.
Like you said, death is not natural.
Yeah.
I mean, I never want to be put in that position, but I would tend to lean towards the decision that you made, because
if you look, if the person looked not good, you know, yeah.
I remember just even with Jude struggling.
Yeah.
With, I mean, and that it's nowhere near the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Barb. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it. She was there for about a minute. She had to leave. And that's a very small, that's kind of a stupid comparison, honestly.
You mean seeing him after surgeries and stuff?
But he didn't look like himself.
No, he did not. Neither did Ellie. Yeah. Neither did, I mean, and with an old person, it's maybe even scarier for kids to see them and they don't look like Nana and or Papa. You know, I don't know what the right decision is with that, but I know that everybody has to make that for their
just
family.
Like anything else, yeah, you
exactly.
Make them knowing you're doing the best that you can at the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can't look back. And
I mean, I don't regret things, but I question that. That is a question.
Whether I hope you don't hear any kind of judgment, because that is not.
No, oh no, no,
not
I don't.
At all what I'm implying.
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay.
I don't feel. I don't definitely feel like it was a wrong decision. I just question: was it a right decision?
Was
well,
it the best decision?
It is what it.
It was,
it is
yeah,
what it is.
Right.
You know, and
God knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
God knew.
And I think Trisha is she was a really sensitive kid. I mean, good grief. She couldn't watch the monkeys on Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah.
So, or the witches, you know, so we kind of had to take what we knew about her, too.
Right. Yes, she's very mature, but she's also very sensitive. And we don't want to give her a
lifelong memory
that
would be difficult to work through.
Right.
Which she would have eventually, but yeah.
So you talk a little bit about this really weird and out of left field component of the story where there's this guy that shows up around the time that Andy was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You didn't know who he was, and he's talking about how can we help and this and that. And then later he comes and leaves a record for you. Mm-hmm. And you later find out who this guy is, and he was working with a funeral home.
He was
the local
undertaker.
And Andy hadn't even passed away yet.
Right, yeah.
And how you just had a very creepy feeling from those experiences.
Right.
And find out it was well warranted because he was scamming people who had lost babies by stealing
the babies. He went for the babies because they would fit in a styrofoam cooler.
Yeah, really, really sick. Looking back on that, like,
interesting
do you think
to
the
me
Lord
that
was giving
we felt
you,
it.
Yeah,
that,
like, do you think that God was help you realize, like, don't talk to this guy.
Yeah, I think I felt something in him that I wanted to ward off. Mm-hmm. Like, You are not.
Did it almost feel like demonic or like?
And the funny like thing was almost? That the kitten attacked him. Like he was crawling up his pant legs with his claws, and I'm like, that kitten never does that. What is, you know? It's like the weird. It was so weird. What a weird story.
How did you find that out later? Was it in the news?
He went to jail.
How long after?
I would say because we knew the postmas, and the postmas, he was in their church. And so we knew, they knew him as friends, kind of. And they knew him, you know. I would say not even a couple years later.
Probably not.
A short time. Mm. It wasn't like, and we were like.
So was there a big thing where they had to go around like.
Exhuming babies.
A bunch of
They figured it out somehow. I don't know.
I don't know that part.
I don't know the details of that.
Well, more horrific thing.
Yeah.
Because you do to someone that just lost a child.
Right.
Well, and we hadn't even, he wasn't.
A cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, and take the money for a casket. Yeah, that was odd.
And Dad, that was weird. It's a, you talk about in the book, Mom, that this record that he left you. And there was a note on it, and it was just a very strange note.
I can't remember.
And it sort of, I think you might have even said it just talked about Andy like he was already dead, and just was very, and you just got a very creepy feeling. And that Dad, you said, burn this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take this, you know, take this note and burn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really did feel... like, should I say energy?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Was it almost like demonic feeling?
It was, I need you away from me. I need, what are you doing? Out of the blue, you know?
I can't imagine you kept the record, right?
To
get rid of the record?
No. I don't even
remember what it was.
I don't remember what the record was, but I think along with the note, so probably, goes the record.
Probably got burned too.
Couch. Get out.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything you'd like to share that you feel like you haven't really shared before or anything?
Probably the book will jog my memory. Isn't that weird to think about? Yeah. Like, of course there's highlights and there's hurtful things and there's wonderful things. And, you know, the things that, like Dad said, he struggles remembering, you know. But, and I'm sure there are things that
I know. You talk about that you didn't have any money because there was no insurance policy.
Yeah.
And you didn't know how you were going to pay for the funeral. And I just love the way that you talked about it in the book that, you know, we didn't have any money, but we just told the Strohs, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We're God's kids and you'll have your money. And it was there.
So true. I mean, we said we don't have anything to give you.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got anything right now. But we will, and we'll take care of it. God will take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, I think it was after the funeral, Carl. We went back to the house. I don't know how much, but I opened a card, and in there is some money, like a $20 bill. And I'm like, okay, close it back up. Get the cards, the whole bunch of cards that were laying there. I said, let's all go sit on the couch because God's going to do something. And we got the kids all, the girls sat them down with us and we started opening cards. And that funeral cost us $930. I mean, think about it. Really? In those envelopes, $930.
That's one of the parts of the book where I bust up.
930. It's like, are you serious? Yes, he's serious. And you know, we just kept opening them. And we kept, and I don't think we were even adding it up. We weren't adding it up. We didn't know how much the funeral even was until we went to settle with, and here's this envelope money. God loves us. He really loves us.
There's a lot of them, by the way. That's just one of them.
Yeah, yeah. That make you bawl. Yeah. I'm like, sorry.
Sobbing, weeping.
You know, the weird thing is with this book, not fun. It's not fun reading. It's not a
I'm sure
little...
it's not fun talking about it either.
I think we're just at a stage where God has just given us so much. And, blessed us so much, and our great kids and our, you know, that, you know, mean the world to us. And we always said, we, you know, I mean, that's why we loved our big family. One of the reasons, that's the only thing you can take to heaven with you, you know, and that was a big thing. That was the joke, quote unquote. But how can we still be sad about Andy? We're just thankful we had him. And we're thankful of what God chose to teach us and the dynamics of our family because of him.
Yeah.
And one person came to Jesus because of him. And his story.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the story goes on because everybody that's ever read it has a different.
And she's in heaven with him now, you know. Mm-hmm. And I now granted, I can look back at that and have a different perspective than I did at the time she was saved, because that brought back some more, you know. What? That's, you know, that isn't. Yes, it is. It is everything. If even one soul came mm-hmm. to know Jesus, what our family, you know, lived. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God for Andy's life and for how we grew and how we continue to grow. Yeah, he's not finished with us. But what I didn't want to hear at the time was time.
Yeah.
God mends and heals in time. But the truth that it is, you may not want to hear it, but it is truth.
Yeah.
It's truth.
Maybe a better way to say it would be keep taking the next step. I don't know.
He what?
Keep taking the next step.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I do feel that he you know, you it's cool how when you do go through really hard stuff, you can look back, and he gives us this backward perspective of knowing that it really, there are eternal things that come out of really, really horrible things.
Yeah.
And we need to be looking for them when we're going through them. Like Dad knew from the beginning. Get that eternal perspective.
Yeah.
And things come into view much better. Your perspective of eternity.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about the book overall is how often the word joy is used. It comes up over and over.
Again, the joy of the Lord was our strength.
And you talk about
truth.
Nehemiah 8:10.
Yes.
Being, like, yep. You held on to that. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, You got anything else back?
You about lost it there, Laura.
I'm telling you, there's probably two or three, maybe four points that every single time I read the book.
That's so interesting. Well, you know, I haven't read it for a long, long time. And I feel like I want to say every time I read it, I cry. I mean, yeah. And it takes me by surprise every single time. Like, why am I crying?
So you're surprised by the grief in a way, maybe?
Yeah.
Why?
That is still deep, deep, you know, pain. That's a pain. That's a scar. That's a, you know.
When you were walking it, were you surprised by the joy?
Yes. Now, one time I got mad. Well, I got mad more than once, didn't I, honey? But one time I got mad, let's see. Was it really mad? It was like Jim was going to say grace over the meal or something. And he started to pray, and he's like, and God, just give Bev her appetite back. That's, we just need to ask you to do that right now. Amen. And I'm like, I don't think I asked for that. And it came back. Hello. Oh, that's answered prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody's, he's laughing in his prayer. He was laughing.
Oh, like, I'm sure.
You could hear Uncle Jim laughing in his prayer.
Yeah. You got anything else? Dad, anything else you wanted to?
I don't think so.
No. Book summary.
Well, it took about, 45 minutes to read it.
Yeah. But the...
Oh dear!
It took 2 hours.
Yeah, it didn't take long to read it.
How long? Yeah, it isn't a. Yeah,
no, it's a long read.
It's a pretty quick read.
You know, Jude's read it.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. He. Well, you know, Jude. He's.
I can't wait. This is going to be good.
Like, what did he say? He said.
It's a hard book.
or it's a hard read or something. It's real hard read.
Little old man.
Yeah, it is. It is a hard read, Jude. You're right.
Sorry. It's very sad. Very sad.
And I'm like,
did he want to, or did you ask him to?
I don't remember asking him to. I think he may have. I think I may have been looking at it at one point, and he was like, "Oh, what's this?" And well, it's the book that Nana wrote when my brother the brother that passed away.
Yeah,
she wrote it after he passed away about him, and you know, and he. Okay. Could I read it? You know, kind of thing. And I'm like, well. Yeah, you can read it. That's fine. It's kind of sad, you know, but you can read it, you know. And he did. He read it.
Good old Jude.
I'm not sure he quite knew what to make of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Have your kids read it? Lydia? Yeah.
She saw it because I had it out.
Okay. Once you get into it, it's just felt. Okay, natural.
Was this your healing process? Is that why you wrote it?
This was cathartic.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was almost driven. And I had little... And I didn't know I wrote it that soon.
It was very soon.
Is that right? Because I thought...
Well, at the time, 8 or 9 months was a long time.
Yeah, it probably felt like a long time ago because you'd walked every single second of it. Well, you know,
Dan would have been just a year old, a year and a half old, and 80, a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I wrote it,
because I was born at the end of 80.
During nap time.
How long did it take?
And you know who I borrowed Roger Faust's hand
typewriter.
Pam click typewriter. It wasn't electric. It was the old. We could do that, but I had learned on electric.
I learned on manual.
Yeah. And he couldn't believe I wrote that whole thing, Roger Faust.
How long did it take you to write it?
Typewriter. Mm. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I was driven.
After school, I'd come home and she was typing.
Hmm. Really?
Do you remember that?
Huh. Wow. Did it feel like it was like a long, like a lot of days? Did it feel like it was like months and months of mom being?
It was every day. It was like every day.
Well, it would have taken me a long time on a hand manual typewriter, too.
Did you write it by hand and then go back and retype it, or were you writing as you were typing?
I think you typed it.
As she was.
Only you would know.
Somehow, I vaguely remember something handwritten somewhere.
I think
somewhere.
You needed the physical.
Well, see, that's beating it out.
Did you ever at any time feel like maybe God was asking you to write it, or was it more just,
to put it down on paper? I felt like it was a need, yes, but it was a need for you guys. It was
all for the attic.
Okay. It was for the attic.
Wow.
And I had no idea that it would help me to
write. You just didn't want him forgotten.
Well, and that was the second reason, because it was such a big thing that everybody's going to forget it. But the biggest thing was for you kids. I wanted the story for our family to know what happened to
you. And you would have forgotten it if you hadn't done that.
Yeah, you wouldn't remember all these little things.
There's so many details you don't even know now.
Yeah. Which is...
It was taking something
darker away.
And whereas you can sit here now and say, oh, maybe I need to read my book. I don't remember that.
I know.
But at the time, it was such a driven need.
It really was, Trish. That's how I felt.
Did you feel like once it was here?
I felt better.
Did you feel like once it was here, now I don't have to remember everything because... Right. I want to be able to remember all the wonderful and
at
bad
time,
and good and
at the time.
No.
I didn't think I would forget anything.
You thought you'd remember every detail.
Everything.
When you live through something that hard, that's how you view it.
I'm never forgetting anything about this, but I want my kids to know. And I want them to know the details. But I did, it was, and I didn't, I had no clue it would be cathartic. I had no, that wasn't even, but it's like pouring out of me, I was realizing, it's almost like I'm not writing. It's just like flowing,
In some ways, I wish I had taken a picture in the hospital of him, and that thought never occurred to me. I think as I don't even know as an adult if how that could be, that would be handled, but it's not something you would just pass around. I kind of, to be honest, I wasn't real, like some women have to hold their babies. And can't let go.
You talk about that you did. There was nothing in you where you wanted to hold on to hold them.
Which was weird to me, because I missed feeling him so bad.
But something in you knew
it was.
He's gone. It's
death.
Not there. He's not there. Andy is gone.
And that's
not him.
So how did that go with Andy? Well, I mean, I remember knowing
said we
that's were. Where they're going. They're going over there, and I can't go. And Aunt Carol gets to go. You know, like, it was just like, I was probably jealous. No one else
saw him but Carol. No one else wanted to see him but Carol. We offered the family, and that should have, as I look back on that, from your perspective, that should have been done on the side, really, and so you wouldn't have even known, which, hard to keep that under your cap, but still, Carol was the only one that wanted to see him.
Was this at the funeral home? I don't know where he was. I just remember you leaving the house. That was where you were going to go.
It was the funeral home.
Okay.
And it was, I don't know that we had visitation even.
So it was maybe just a private.
Yes, we did. We did. We went early. Yeah, it was a long visit. It was a line out the door. It was.
But they weren't coming for a viewing because, you know, it was just, they were just coming to say, we're here and, you know, express.
It's what you do.
Right.
Good news. It's the good news way. You go through the. You know, really.
Well, most of them are very sincere about what.
And it wasn't just good news people. It was his work people. Yeah.
Probably anyone who heard.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because it's one of those situations where everyone is hurting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need that closure, even if it's just a visitation and not the funeral. The funeral was full. But they had it at the funeral home.
I know I told you this, but I you girls probably don't know. I have no memory of the funeral.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's interesting.
But you remember all the other stuff.
Do you remember singing Eileen after the service? You know, we're talking to people a little bit, waiting for them to get the casket and the, you know, and leave and follow the hearse. And Eileen came up to me and she said, I knew when they started playing Jesus Loves Me, it was going to be a tearjerker.
That was when you figured it out? I think I figured it out the moment I heard.
Music. You know how music
touches people. It was the most simple version of it.
It was like a two-handed simple version on the piano.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It wasn't a big frilly.
Yeah.
Well, he's beautiful, and I can't wait to meet him.
Do you think he looks like Melissa?
I always thought he looked like Krista.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Certain pictures.
His mouth is bigger.
Certain pictures.
His mouth
I think about eyes.
The eyes.
Krista's like eyes were bigger when she was little like this. Eyes are slittier now.
There's one with, where he's sitting next to Krista.
Oh,
and I just thought,
you know what?
Right here.
Below it, Mom. That one below it.
Because,
and I just thought, gosh, he looks like her to me in that picture, you know?
He had a bigger mouth. Look how fat he was.
He did have a bigger mouth. It looks
chin.
Yeah.
I remember us having these physical pictures and kind of dividing them up.
Yeah.
And one picture of him. One.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that is why you gave me this book. I'm like vaguely remembering because you wanted me to have more pictures of him.
Well, you must have
told. I wanted more pictures, but I didn't feel like I
had any right
them.
To them. I can understand that because I probably would have felt
why
the
you
same.
Gave me
like,
a copy of that.
You know.
And these were in a second version.
Like the older
of it.
Girls need to have the physical pictures.
Yeah,
they need to have, you know, because they need to have those for, you know, like.
And I don't know. What the girls have. I don't know what Krista and Melissa. Look at you, honey. Oh, my goodness. You look so sad. Carl.
That was.
You look so sad.
Is it Dan's birthday?
Dan's birthday.
I'm telling you. It's like the pictures with Dan where he's real little. It's, I don't
know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I love. This is like my favorite one.
Yeah.
I know,
with
Dad's Grandpa.
Hands. Yeah. With his hands.
Well, you said he warmed up to him, like, near
He would sort of start to play the game of, I'm not going to come to you.
Yeah.
And then when Grandpa would turn around and, you know, and then he'd go rattle his pant leg. Yeah. You know, like.
So cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dad had said. They lived down here then. Yeah. They were in Florida for 18 months, and they were down here. Hmm. They had bought a house in Leesburg. And I should write that story down. Maybe it's in here.
No, you tell the story about the pant leg. Yeah.
But Dad said then when he'd be working out in his work shed or whatever, he would, the wind would, you know, catch his pant leg or something, and he just would think about Andy, you know, playing that little game. And he'd cry. Dad was very tender.
So thank you for doing this. Because I mean, again, like...
If you get the Pulitzer for it.